I know what this is. I know what's happening. And I know what's at stake.
I don't think you do, Doctor. But I promise before this Christmas day is done, you will be glad of my help.
Happy Easter. Happy Easter.
Your Father Christmas, you're real.
Welcome to the Fan and the Fool, everyone. I'm the fan, Matt Antonelli.
I'm the fool, Alex Cameron.
I'm so excited for today's episode.
Are you?
Well, we'll get to the episodes, but let's do our two segments at the start.
Yes.
Or do we... No, wait, we normally ramble for 10 minutes. How's your day?
We don't have to. It's been fine. We don't have to ramble. That just happens.
How's Christmas?
Yeah, it is almost Christmas.
I did wonder if I should just pick a Christmas episode for us to watch, but we can't, because then it skips through a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
I was thinking, though...
Yeah?
That next week, because I'm going away this week, but next week we should do 2 episodes, and we should finish this off, plus watch the Doctor Who and the Daleks movie.
Agreed.
How's that sound?
That's our Christmas special.
Yes.
Yes.
It's more colourful, like as in, it's Christmassy in that way.
Okay.
Because it's in colour, not in black and white.
And it's also a bunch of people playing characters that we already know, but they're different people, right?
Also, it might be actually interesting.
Are you talking about in comparison to the Web Planet?
Look... Not a terrible episode. I just think it's repeating a lot of things we've seen. Like,
yes,
how the Romans was a poorer version of the Reign of Terror, this feels like a poorer version of the Daleks.
Absolutely. First thing I thought, as soon as there was two different species on the planet, I was like, this is the same thing.
I actually put one of my notes as two warring races again.
Woo! Yeah. Because, you know, initially, in my notes I've written down things like, oh, they dropped into another story midway and they're discovering what's happening. And I was like, this is another retread.
Yeah, and look, I know I'm the fan.
You don't look like it today. Just see your face right now.
But I think there's a reason why when I went back and watched classic episodes, I didn't watch all of them.
Yep.
I just watched ones where I knew significant things happened.
Yeah.
And this is nothing significant happens.
No.
Not in these first three episodes anyway. There's a lot of setting up of things.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
And I do have good things to say.
Me too.
Maybe more than the Romans.
Yes.
But it also depends on where it builds to.
Which you don't know yet, do you?
No, I don't know. So, part of my brain was like, do we need 6 episodes for this? Like, as in, does this storyline require... 6 times 25 minutes.
They found a way to fill it, though, didn't they?
They sure did. I feel bad when I say things like this, because I do really love Doctor Who.
And I've been enjoying it so far in general. I agree with you.
But,
But the point...
How far away are we to the exciting one?
I'd rather us...
the chase happen?
The thing I like about our podcast is... that we're honest about stuff. We're not just fanboys for no reason.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. Because I could very easily be like, well, this is boring, but it's significant to the lore. This is not significant.
No.
And, you know. But you know what is significant?
Oh, what's that?
Matthew's brief, spoiler-free review of current episode. Now, while I've started my holidays, particularly this morning, I did rewatch a few more recent episodes.
Yeah.
Because Jodie Whittaker is leaving. And I do like Jodie Whittaker. There's a lot of like fans who are like,
you know, oh no, it's a woman!
It's a woman. A woman can't be a doctor. You know, that kind of thing.
Wow. Wow, I feel like they should be back in the 1960s, the stuff we've been watching. The people are like, a female doctor? What?
Yeah. Well, look, she's been really good. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, she's too much like... The main criticism I see is like, she's too much like the 10th Doctor, David Tennant, but a woman. But I don't think she's that similar. I think she's just similar in a way that she's kind of wacky and zany.
Okay.
But that's like, you know, most of them are kind of a bit odd.
I feel like... the current one for us, the first one, is a bit like that too. And he's getting more that way.
Yeah, he's laughing too much, man.
Oh,
Anyway, the current episode, so it was the end of the miniseries.
Right, right.
And it was very good. You don't get all your questions answered, though.
Really?
And it does kind of... It does build to this kind of, like, the whole universe is at stake moment. But then I feel like the resolution's quite quick. You know what I mean?
So it did resolve.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there's also enough to kind of be like, there's going to be some repercussions
right.
of what's happened.
Now, can I ask you a question? Because I feel like, without even seeing any of the new stuff at all, I get the feeling the way the Doctor Who narrative works is, event happens, Doctor proceeds to save people / the world / fix the problem, and then because of the way he's done it, or she, with time travel, there's then repercussions. Doctor has to try to fix it, save people, blah, blah, blah.
That's not always the case.
Okay.
Because it's not always time travel. Sometimes the stuff happens in the present day.
When is the present day? We've had this discussion.
Well, you know, sometimes in the present day...
When is the now,
you need to find some time to do a jolly good spring cleaning.
Whoa, how awesome.
Do some jolly good other things, too.
Go ahead.
I'll save it for later.
Oh. Oh, building tension.
All in all...
Yes.
The 6-part miniseries... gets a thumbs up.
Okay. How many episodes total has she done as the Doctor, Jodie Whittaker?
Well, I think she's now at 28 episodes.
Okay, so it's not like a short time.
No, she did 2 10-episode seasons.
Yep.
She's done this 6-part miniseries and she's done 2 Christmas specials, or 2 New Year's specials.
How many do they do on average?
The seasons used to be 13 episodes long.
Okay.
And I think that was the plan... was her first season was going to be 11, and then it was going to go back to normal. But I think COVID things happened. Or they just made it 10 episodes. They do seem to be longer, though. Like, they're 10... Instead of, like, 13, 45 minutes, they're, like, 10, 50 minutes. Like, they kind of just extended the episode a little bit. Christopher Eccleston,
yeah.
who is the 9th Doctor, who left the show after one season... There'll be a whole lot of trivia when we get to that point.
Spicy.
But because the UK's been in a lot of lockdown, you know how I listened to all those radio plays?
Yeah.
He started doing them because he was like, I can't go out anywhere. I may as well just record some episodes of my Doctor Who show.
That's
so like a right. They have writers and other voice actors and
yeah.
So they're really good, but it was really funny because he did an interview to promote them. And like, oh, why did you return to the character of the Doctor after so long? And he was like, well, I need the work.
Wow.
But he gives it 100%. Like
yeah,
he's
yeah.
You pay for him and he gets the job done. It's just like it's just funny for
it's not,
an actor
it's
to
not
be
a...
like be like. Oh, it's a role that I dreamt of returning to. It was just like, no, I need a paycheck.
It's not a passion project.
Yeah, I guess that's the case. But he loves Doctor Who fans, he says.
Yeah.
They're always really lovely.
Well, as long as you're doing it for them, that's fine. But that's what's so cool is if you ever play the Doctor, you could be set. Like in 20 years, if you need work, you just offer. I'm happy to do voice work.
Yeah. Oh, even they've all come back. The only ones that haven't are the... Like Jodie Whittaker's off because she's still on TV.
Yeah.
But Matt Smith and Peter Capaldi haven't come back for it yet. But I think they will.
They still could.
Yeah, they will, I reckon, at some point. Matt Smith has kind of gone on to do heaps of other bigger shows and stuff. I don't know if it's bigger shows, but he got a lot of work after he finished Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Because they're like, that's a draw card for our show now, you know.
You should take it up whilst there, and then when it starts to dry off a bit.
You'll be like, oh, we'll go back to
remember I did this?
I need a paycheck. Are you ready for the next one?
Yeah, we've done our obligation of pre-ramble.
Yep.
Is it Doctor Who?
Who? Yeah, I'll do.
That'll do. That sounded more like a monkey call than your usual.
Ooh? I thought it would sound more like an owl. Okay, you can't look at the feet. I mean, as in underneath the feet.
Okay.
Do you want to describe the thing?
Yeah, I'm trying to... the thing is, I'm trying to remember what they're called. They're a type of toy. What are they called again?
Pop vinyls?
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. You're right. I'm pretty sure it's a Doctor Who thing, because I know the hat is something that one of the Doctors wears. And you've said something about a mop being used by one of them before in our episode discussion. So mm-hmm. It is a Doctor Who thing.
Yep.
Got you.
Well, I want to see if you remember things that I say. Like a fez and a mop.
Well, I know the fez. I've seen it in the wide world of Doctor Who entertainment.
To be fair, the fez isn't a constant part of his uniform. It's in, like, one episode. Because okay. That would be irritating, I think.
Well, yeah. Isn't it worn by the, like, young, hip, millennial, look at me, I'm Doctor Who kind of fella? Well, not really.
I thought fezes were worn by important people.
No, but I'm saying the one that wears it is that Doctor, isn't it?
Yeah, yes.
Matt Smith?
I don't get the whole why you keep talking like he's a millennial. He kind of just acts like in every other Doctor.
Oh, yeah, okay, but our current in Doctor fact, is about 70 years old, and he's like 20.
I'd just like to point out something.
Go ahead.
I went back and rewatched some of his episodes, and in hindsight, not that great with women.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, I just think that there's a few moments where he's a bit like, you know, at first he's all fine.
Yeah.
But then he's not.
Do you reckon the writers of Doctor Who said, okay, how do we salvage this? I've got it. The Doctor becomes a female. Look at us, we're feminists.
No, as in like, him not being, he's the opposite of that.
That's my point, is the writers said, we've made Doctor Who look very bad. How do we fix this? I know.
At the time, I didn't notice. It's when you go back and you're like, you know. And then they made him Peter Capaldi. Scottish. Made him Scottish.
The one who's like, bring it on, Mr. Claus.
Yep.
Yeah. Is that the name
Look
of the episode?
My eyebrows. Those ones. He has a really
Does
great...
Does he say that?
He has a really great line when he turns up. You're going to forget this when we watch because it's ages away. But he lands the TARDIS in a science lab,
mm-hmm.
just like in the open, and he hops out, and there's this woman, and she says, "Oh my god!" And he goes, "No, but I understand the mistake. The eyebrows."
Nice. You know what's funny is, because this is off topic, but The Matrix 4 is coming out.
The Matrix
4. I don't know if you've seen the insane level of marketing for it.
Oh, they're making another one of those?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've noticed it everywhere.
So I'm rewatching the first three just to see how they hold up, and because I probably will see the fourth one, I want to know where it's up to. And a similar line is said in number two, where Agent Smith, you know Agent Smith?
Yes.
The bad guy? He rocks up in the middle of nowhere.
Mr. Anderson.
That guy. And a guy, like a bystander, just goes, "Oh, God," the same thing. And he goes, "Smith will do," and then proceeds to just kill him. So how weird is that?
Does he kill him or does he turn him into him? Doesn't he do that thing
where
he turns people into
him? Yeah,
he
did that. He multiplied himself. But I'm just saying how weird is that we both watched something where a similar thing was said.
Mm.
So anyway, yeah, that is Doctor Who.
That is.
What a segment.
Are you ready for the real part of the episode?
Yeah, we've done a lot of ramble, so let's hit it.
How much time have we got?
Let's hit it, sugar. What do you mean?
Well, I just mean I've only got like maybe 3 minutes of stuff to say about these.
No. We have to go through and not only explain the story, but try to understand it as we go.
Okay.
Maybe the TARDIS Wiki will help you and I understand what the hell was going on. Because look, I know you just knocked over the who is it Doctor Who?
He doesn't call himself Doctor Who. He calls himself the Doctor.
Oh, sorry. Yes, you're right. You're right. Mr. Who Man. Whodunits.
And there's times in me he forgets to how to count to 13. You'll get it eventually. It's like, come on, writers. Like, you can't have him regenerate at one point and then be like, no, he can't do it now. Sorry, it's stuck in my head.
Is it? Are you talking about
there's a continuity error that frustrates me all the time.
Have the fans online been talking about it?
Well, I guess technically when he has like a false regeneration.
Okay.
And so I guess technically...
Spoilers.
It wasn't him doing that. that time that it happened that one time.
Okay.
But,
is that any time soon that we're going to see?
No.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I get that sometimes science fiction can be out there, but I just watched The Matrix 2, and that was easier to understand than these Doctor Who episodes, and that's saying something.
I don't think that these episodes are difficult to understand.
Really?
I just don't think anything happens in them.
I feel like, I don't feel like the narrative is hard, but I feel like it's hard to follow the dialogue and go, oh, this is what she's talking about.
Alright, would you like me to get some of my good stuff out of the way early?
If it'll make you feel better before we start, let's do it.
Last week we laughed a little bit at the costumes.
Oh, yes.
But I think they work better in motion.
I agree.
They don't look well as still photos.
Yep.
But they do work when they're moving. Particularly, to my surprise, the bee costumes. I quite liked them. And there was a weird kind of haze on the camera at certain points.
Yeah.
I think to try and hide how poor that they were, poorly they were probably made. But it kind of helped to make it look
good. Yeah, absolutely. And we got something wrong that was very important, which is that I called it a bee, the first one we saw. And you said, yeah, but it's got legs. But they're ants, so that works.
There is a bee one.
Yeah, 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 but we it's were calling them, the ant a bee. And you were upset, but you're like, why has it got legs then? You don't remember?
Bees have ants. Bees have ants.
Bees have ants.
Bees have...
Episode title complete.
Bees have legs.
Yeah, but...
That's why the saying, I'm the bee's knees exists.
I'm telling you what you said. There's no point getting angry at me.
I don't recall saying that.
Well, it's on YouTube, my dude. Anyway. Yes, I agree. I think the costumes worked fairly well. And if you're thinking about when this was made, it wasn't horrible.
No, it was good.
Yeah.
I think the giant ants look worse than the bees. Mainly because of the very human legs.
Yes.
Like, the very human legs. Like, all the extra stuff around the human legs looks good.
Yep.
But the fact that there's human legs underneath... Like, I don't know, maybe... Probably could have put some stuff around that to hide it a little bit more.
And also, it does look hilarious when they're running around. Because they're just waddling around with these obviously heavy costumes.
And Ian has a great fight with one of them.
Yes.
Where he just kind of, like, they have a bit of a tussle, but obviously the costume's arms don't move a lot.
Yeah.
And so he ends up just pushing the thing over. So it's pretty good. Okay, you ready?
What more good stuff have you got to say, or is that it?
I think that might be it.
So you liked the costumes. I'm glad we got that out the way.
Would you like me to tell you some of the critical response?
Sure.
So, this is just to foreshadow some things that we will talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter Black of the Daily Mail... So, I've got this stuff from Wikipedia.
Yep.
Because I couldn't get the TARDIS wiki page to work at first. But then I realised on Wikipedia, they put the critical reception there. All for you to see.
Yeah, because on TARDIS wiki, they're not going to be like, hey, we love the Doctor, and these episodes are bad.
Well, does it have it here? No, I can't see it there at all.
Of course not.
Okay, so... Daily Mail described the main characters in this story as the dullest quartet in fiction.
As in the TARDIS crew?
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Comments from younger viewers read on Junior Points of View were mixed. Some found the episode exciting and hair-raising, while others complained about the pointless noisy bleeping.
Yes.
And look, I understand the beeping...
What it was trying to signify.
Yeah, it's communication.
Mm.
And I guess ants don't... Like, how do ants communicate? They don't speak to each other.
Yeah, but they definitely don't beep at each other.
Are you an ant?
Are they robots?
No, are these guys robots? We don't know
they
yet.
They acted like it. Got them. But yes, I know what you're saying.
Retrospective reviews are generally positives.
Like ours might be. How about we turn that ship around and say, actually, no, we're looking at this in retrospect, and we don't have very nice things to say.
Mark Braxton of the Radio Times, which is, I think, a BBC thing, but they review old shows and stuff,
mm-hmm.
acknowledges the costume design efforts and superbly atmospheric sets, though they have not aged well.
I agree.
Well, some of the sets do look fine.
I like the idea that they're obviously filming it in like a big studio.
Mm.
And so the echo made sense.
Yes.
It kind of explained away the echo, which I thought was clever.
I also thought that it could have used more like foresty or web or something. There's lots of nice scenery kind of around. And the bee people have pretty cool looking swords.
Yeah, that's true. I like those.
And an interesting way to communicate. They have like a weird crystal radio thing going on.
Mm.
So anyway, that's the story. So they, where were we? I need you to talk.
So where were we was, they had just escaped from Nero.
Yep.
The sexual predator. And
historical figure.
And they'd gotten away, and in their travels, they were actually taken off course. They weren't meant to land on this planet, but they felt the force pulling them down, which we assume is a web.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what it is.
Well, the TARDIS still landed. Like, it still did the
cleanly
thing.
Cleanly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess it's some other force that's made them land there.
And they're now on the web planet.
Yeah. Which is called... I don't know if I've got
Vortis?
It. Oh, yeah, it is Vortis. Yeah, I just write that down. Vicky hears, like, a really high-pitched sound.
Yep.
While they're in the TARDIS. And I do like the fact that they reference the fact that younger people, they do hear the higher frequencies. Because at first I wrote, I thought Vicky wasn't Susan.
That's right. And she was just complaining as usual.
Yeah. But it's not like... She recovers better than Susan would have, I think.
Yeah.
Like, she needs to have a lie down, but she's not stabbing anyone with scissors, if you know what I mean.
That's true. Or screaming incessantly.
I thought it was funny that when Barbara walked out into the console room at the start, she was holding a goblet. Like, she was holding, like, a glass from from the Romans episodes.
Yeah.
So they just took that with them, I guess.
They took quite a bit.
Yeah.
As you find out.
Vicky hears all the bleeping in her ears. They do land.
Yeah.
And Dark Barbara's like, do you have any medicine that would, you know, help Vicky? Like, she said sedatives or anything.
Yeah.
Which, well, that's a bit strong. But maybe, you know, like a Panadol or something. And he was
Barbara
like,
likes to hit it hard.
he was like, go check over there. You know where the first aid kit... He's like, you know where everything is now.
He's a bit dismissive.
Yeah.
For a lot of this episode.
Yeah. And Barbara goes over the table and she's like, this place needs a jolly good spring cleaning.
Oh, Doctor, what a mess. Honestly, one of these days I'm going to have a jolly good spring clean around here.
And I was like, that's good.
Yeah.
Well done. I was getting excited.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, getting excited by...
It's a jolly good smack bottom.
Spring clean around here.
Barbara and
so
what
the
else?
Prospect of spring cleaning.
Is that what the kids call it these days?
I put at 8:30, the doctor just loves laughing to himself now.
He started doing that during the burning of Rome and he hasn't stopped. The insane madman.
I think maybe his brain broke because maybe he realized everything he does is pointless from that point.
Well, you're right. Maybe because he didn't start doing that insane laughing until after that conversation with Vicky. When she's like, you told me not to mess with anything and look at you.
And he's just like,
my fault, is it?
And he does the thing where he puts the finger on his lips again. He's like,
yeah. And we see the screenshot of where I found the image for the highlight of Barbara Loves the Men, where the doctor's like, ooh. Because it came up on the screen and I was like, I know that image. Anyway. He really is the Joker. Much more than I thought.
So, the decision is made. The doctor and Ian will go check out outside.
Yep.
And they do something clever. So, this is something else I like. Is the doctor gives Ian and himself a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, that will help them adjusts to the atmosphere outside, which I think is clever because it's like, it doesn't require you to make a weird, like, astronaut costume thing.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is some technology that the Doctor has.
He called them ADJ coats. Do you know what that is? Or is it just a made-up thing?
They're called atmospheric density jackets.
Oh, yeah, ADJ.
ADJ.
Okay.
There you go.
I thought it might have been a reference to something scientific, but nope.
And when they go out, Barbara and Vicky have a conversation about each other's schooling.
Yes.
So she's like, here, have this medication. And Vicky's like, let me have a look at that container that the medication's in. And she's very... I think she's quite rude.
I agree.
She's like, oh, you know, from this primitive time, which I understand because she's from, like, the 27th century or something, and they're from the 20th, so she's probably thinks she's ahead of them. But she's also like, oh, by the time I was 10, I'd conquered physics and medicine, and it's like, no, you didn't. That's not how things work.
You reckon? You reckon she's just saying that?
Well, maybe that's what happened. But that's not how... That
would how it happen. Would work, no. Right.
And she was like, sometimes we'd have to go to school for a whole hour a week. It's like, shut up. That's not possible.
I did like, and I know it's snarky, but I did like when Barbara was saying, you know, we learnt the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. And she said, oh, so you taught at a nursery.
We worked upwards from the three R's. Reading, writing, arithmetic.
Oh, it was a nursery school.
It was not.
Oh.
Yeah.
As if to be like, so that's baby stuff. Got him.
Should have just given her stronger sedatives. Should knock her out.
Jolly good spring cleaning.
You know what she needs.
What? Jolly good spring cleaning. You know you missed a part. I don't like when you whisper that and look me deep in the eyes. Can I just say something?
Yep.
You missed something important that I thought you were going to bring up.
Oh, it's probably written here somewhere.
They couldn't open the TARDIS door.
I do have that.
Because they lost power. But that happens before the stuff you've just talked about. Anyway. And the Doctor's like, well, he's very like, he doesn't want to show Ian that he has another way to open the TARDIS door. And then he says, fine, look at this ring. It's not just for decoration. And then he uses that on some device that pops up. He waves the wing in front of it. The ring in front of it. And the doors pop open. Is that a Doctor Who thing?
The ring?
The ring and opening the door with
They don't all have a motion. Ring.
Okay.
Because, you know, when you regenerate, your finger size changes as well.
Yeah, but the ring would still be there. And the technology would still be there, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought
some fan
it
you
was
are.
Funny that it was like, oh, hey, we spent all this time together, but I still don't trust you with some information.
Yeah.
Also, have they reached a point where they're just like, I guess we're living with this guy forever now? Because for a long time there, they wanted to go home, but they seem to have just accepted the fact that they're just not going home.
I thought it was more like they're enjoying the adventures, but they've realized this guy doesn't know how to get them home. So let's just wait and see if he can do it, or if it happens.
And it's interesting, I think I've mentioned something similar before. It's just like, you know, they have family, presumably.
Yep. But they've realized if he can take us back in time to when we first left, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, or he'll take them to pre-revolutionary France and just dump them there. Because his mood still swings.
That's
quite
true.
Significantly.
It does.
Now, Barbara also reveals to Vicky that she's wearing a bracelet. And I put, oh, Barbara still likes her bracelets. Because she wore one in the Aztecs as well.
And she got this one from Nero.
When?
Because I don't feel like that happened, did it?
I don't remember it happening. And I didn't want to go back and watch to check. So.
That's fair.
I think the thing that wasn't weird to me. I was like, okay, he gave you a bracelet.
Hmm.
It's what happens with the bracelet.
Yeah, because I don't feel like they properly explained why what happens.
So she starts to, we'll just stick with Barbara and Vicky for a bit.
Yep.
But she starts to lose control of her arm that's wearing the bracelet.
Yep.
So it will kind of just do things on its own. She freaks out a bit, which is fair enough, because if your arm just started doing its own thing, you'd probably freak out.
Like it was possessed or something.
Yeah, but how is the bracelet significant to that? It's presumably just a regular bracelet from the time of Romans, from Roma itself.
I thought it was something to do with the fact that it's some kind of metal or something, because it felt like other metallic items inside the TARDIS were also moving about. But then it just kind of happens to Ian's pen, remember?
Yeah.
And that's obviously he's not holding a metal pen.
No, so the other thing, the thing that we're referencing now is once the Doctor and Ian are outside,
yeah,
he gets out a pen and it just disappears.
And the Doctor does his joke laugh about it.
He's like, oh, I'm sure, yeah. Are you sure you even had a pen? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, you know, you guys have been to some weird places. Maybe, you know, it's like earlier when Barbara was like, I saw something move in the television screen.
Yeah.
And the Doctor's like, oh, it was probably just like a shimmering light, a cosmic light.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, maybe just, maybe there's something out there.
These people have been with you at the beginning of Earth civilization, the Reign of Terror, Caesar, the Sensorites, what
Daleks
else?
Twice. They've
dealt with the Daleks twice. Like, these people have seen some stuff. They're not just going to pretend they saw something.
One of them defeated a Jaguar warrior.
Yes.
And did he? How did he go against Romans? He did all right. He was a gladiator.
He did all right until Barbara knocked him out.
The pot, yeah.
That's right. But also, one of them has killed a Dalek single-handedly by running it over.
Yeah, she drove a truck straight through them.
It's not like she's going to be scared for no reason.
No.
But, okay, but the thing is, eventually, her arm being pulled by the bracelet turns from her being freaked out about it to being almost like a zombie because of it.
Yeah, she's like possessed all over.
And then just walks out.
And while that's happening, the Doctor and Ian come across a puddle.
Yes.
I mean, it might be deeper than a puddle, but just look at the puddle of water. And Ian was like, I'm thirsty. And I just put, careful, Ian, that's water.
Yeah.
Like, every time they've encountered water, it's either hasn't been water, or it's been, like, when they're on the Sensorites, he became sick from their water because it wasn't pure water or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there was that time that Susan wanted to go for a swim really badly and it turned out to be an acid sea.
Acidic water.
You know, now the we know that the only thing that water is really good for is fixing ankles.
Yes, so that's true.
Like, maybe don't just assume it's water.
Maybe learn.
Yeah.
This is not even the first time you and I are having a conversation about their experiences with water.
I have a feeling, and maybe it's because modern day Doctor Who has like a lead writer and like more creative control over like what's going to happen in an entire season.
Yep.
Maybe these writers, because I didn't recognize the writer's name. I don't think he's written a previous.
He was a
episode.
New. I recognized it as being a new name.
Maybe they have. They don't go back, and maybe they don't worry that much about continuity just yet.
Yeah.
No, they're just like, what would happen if a man came across a puddle on an alien planet?
Which is fair enough.
Yeah.
The way,
but if that man had come across various puddles on multiple planets, you know, you'd think he probably would have learned a few things.
Yeah.
So, you know. But I thought that was interesting. And then he takes off his Coal Hill school tie.
Yes.
Which is used out around as a belt, I guess, kind of weirdly.
Yeah, for some reason I remember seeing a scene where he used it as a belt. Remember he took his belt off for the Doctor to use it for something. This is ages ago. And then he had no belt, so he had to use his tie. And I guess he's been using that tie ever since.
The Doctor has like a clothes room.
No, they were...
he should get another belt.
Yeah, I agree. I'm pretty sure it was in the Sensorites. It was when they were down in the tunnels. And the Doctor said, I need your belt for something. Ian took it off. He just never got it back. So he's been using a tie.
And the Doctor takes that tie, dips it in the water, and it just like melts through the end of the tie. So they realize probably not good enough water to drink.
Yep.
And then there's like a sound of something like dropping into the water.
Yeah.
And they see, and do they see an ant?
No, we see what
we
it was.
We see the ant.
Yeah. Above them on like a rock surface above where that water was. But Ian is walking away from it, backwards looking at it, and therefore stumbles into a web. Well, he stumbles into a net on the ground that is then very slowly lifted over it.
It just looked like one of those camouflage nets, yeah. You know, that you try to trap someone in.
Yep.
So, I thought it could have looked more webby.
Yeah,
I agree. Ants make web? Or do they make weird camouflage nets? If you know the answer, email us.
gmail.com.
I guess ants don't make web, but they probably constructed it out of leaves and
I have an interesting question for you then.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
This is going to shock you. Why is it called the web planet? If it's between ants and what look like more
bees.
Like butterflies to me than bees.
They should have called it the insect planet.
That would have been much better.
Yeah. It was actually originally called Doctor Who and the Zabi.
Which would make more sense.
Yes.
But maybe that's confusing if you haven't seen the episode yet and you'd be like, what the hell is a Zabi?
And you're like, why aren't there webs on this planet? Shouldn't just be called the Web Planet.
And now we're back to where we started.
And now there is a much better future episode.
Okay.
Which has a spider planet.
Right.
Which is full of web. But they don't call it the Web Planet.
Well, they can't because it was used for this insect planet. Question though, how often do they go back to the same places? Like, have you ever seen this planet ever again after this? Well, you've never seen a story, so have you ever seen it before in the episodes you've seen? Yeah.
No.
Why don't they go back? That would make so much sense to go back and be like, oh yes, I remember. Because then you can make references like, I remember when I was back here and I was here with Vicky and Barbara.
They still have returned to places.
But we've not... I don't feel like we've yet been to a place they've returned to that's not like Earth.
Yeah. Well, I think in future episodes, like, they return to places, but you don't want to just keep returning to places.
No, but I feel like it's been long enough. This was made in the 60s. You could go back and redo it, a similar story, but with proper, you know, production of today's...
And you could be like, well, that does happen.
Okay.
That does happen. Not in this particular planet, but there's definitely costumes when you're like, that doesn't look good. And then, you know, David Tennant rocks up, or Matt Smith rocks up, and they're like, oh, now that looks good. The Silurians much, just saying. I couldn't even...
My brain could not even pass the word you just said. I'm not even going to try and repeat it. The midichlorians, did you say?
No. The Barbara leaves the TARDIS, so she's being brain controlled.
Yes.
And we get to the end of the episode, and Barbara looks like she's going to step into acid water.
Yep. Ian is still trapped in the web, and the doctor says...
The doctor says he'll go back to the TARDIS.
He said, are you going to be okay here? I'm going to go back and get something to help you.
Yes. The doctor goes back and realizes that the TARDIS is gone.
Yep.
And Vicky's in the TARDIS, and it's all, like, moving about.
It's being moved by someone else.
Yeah.
And can I just say, I thought that was an excellent way to end the episode. Like...
Yeah, I was... at this point, I was probably... I think I was still on board for everything.
Yes. Because imagine that as a cliffhanger and how desperate things are for the Doctor. Barbara's a zombie somewhere. Ian's trapped in a web. Now he can't find Vicky and he can't get to the TARDIS.
Yeah, it's quite... Yeah, because that does happen even in Modern Who, where it's like,
right,
great, I've brought all these people on this trip with me, I've lost all of them, and I don't have any way of finding them.
Yeah.
But we did say at the start, like, it's very similar to the Daleks, the first Daleks,
yep,
story, even up to this point, but this is where it's probably slightly different, because in that, at least, the Doctor was like, I want to hang around here to check out a weird city. And he sabotaged the TARDIS himself.
Yes.
Whereas in this case, it's just that the ant creatures have taken the box.
The box.
All right, episode 2. Do you have anything else for episode 1?
No, I'm just... Now that we've climbed to the top of the hill...
Get ready for the fall, everyone.
It's all downhill from here, my dudes. And dudettes. The Zabi.
The Zabi. The ship is gone.
Yes.
The Doctor goes back to Ian then, because I guess at least he knows where that companion is.
Yep.
So he goes back to him, and Ian's now not in the net. He's escaped somehow, fell.
That's what I wanted to ask you. Why? Why not keep him trapped in there as part of the story?
He might have struggled free, I guess.
And again, he's knocked out.
He's knocked out, and also he had burns on his face, like he'd been stung or something.
Well, he talked about he could feel the web burning him.
Yeah.
It was burning hot or, like, stinging him. So...
Is Ant Web stingy?
Is Ant Web?
Is Ant Web...
Let's start with that.
Is a web
that.
From ants stingy?
If Ant has web.
If Ant has web.
Sounds like a weird tongue twister.
I guess ants must... Because don't they...
Ants must web?
Oh, no, that's more of the queen. Here's a question. You ready?
I am ready.
You know ants. You know in an ant's nest, there's
ants,
like...
you know.
There's like a queen.
Yes.
And the queen's the one that produces all the eggs.
Yes.
Right?
Not the men, the queen.
The one queen.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of men, one queen.
Sounds like Barbara's ideal world, anyway.
Oh, jeez. No, that has to be creepy as well.
Oh, yeah. Like the fur man? She loves the creepy dudes.
The shoulders.
Anyway, sorry. Let's get back on track.
So, but then the work ants take the eggs and store them.
Yeah.
Do they not cover them in some kind of web or something so they will stick together?
Well, that's a good question. If you have the answer, you can email us at thefanofthefool@gmail.com.
If you have the... answer.
But on Tish.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I guess these ants do. Because I guess they're not real ants. They're like giant weird ants.
You know
and
what?
The Doctor even says, obviously at this planet, on this particular planet, this type of species are the ones that have become the dominant shape. You know what I mean? Like.
So basically, there's no reason for us to ask ants... Ask the answers. Ask the question. The answers.
Yeah.
Because the questions don't matter because they're not...
They're alien ants.
Exactly. So why are we even trying to, you know, collate them to what we know about real ants?
Mm.
There are bees, so maybe it's the bee web?
Bee web. Bee webbed. Barbara doesn't walk into a puddle of acid. She walks around it.
No, I feel like that was clickbait because you felt like that was what was going to happen.
Yes, but she just walks around it.
The thing zombifying her was like, no, don't.
Yes, because they're like, that's not what would be the point of that.
We're smarter than you. We don't trust water.
Maybe they drank that liquid.
Who, the ants?
Yeah.
And that's why
that's why their web
so...
is hot. Because acid,
that's water. Maybe that's what we find out.
They drink acid water and then they have hot webs.
Because often... I don't like the way you said that, but can I just say...
Would you like me to wink after I say it?
No. I would like you to turn away and not look at me right now. I just want to quickly say...
Yep.
Every time a person is injured, there's a big part of the plot that goes towards how they get fixed or healed or whatever.
Yep.
His burns on his face have been caused by this. So here's a prediction... The Doctor will have to investigate why the webs were burning in order to figure out how to fix Ian's face from the burns.
He kind of already fixes his face, though.
Sort of.
Or I guess it's just treatment. It's not fixed.
And we therefore find out that the ants do drink the water.
Maybe. But I feel like that won't happen.
Well, let's see.
So Barbara's just walking.
Yeah.
And she gets intercepted. Is this at that point? Oh, yeah. She is accosted by a large butterfly-like creature, it says.
See, butterfly, not bee. That's what I said.
But they're striped like a bee.
But the TARDIS...
The wings are a butterflied.
Barbered? Butterflied.
Barbered. That's a barberfly. I did put that when Vicky was shouting Barbara's name out loud.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard it, but she was like, Barbara! Like, it was really emphasized that second, like, B.
Barbara! Barbara!
It sounded like when someone who doesn't speak the language is trying to say a word they don't know.
And they take the rat bracelet off her arm. So there's three of them.
Yep.
And they keep, like keep her, like, cornered because she keeps, like, trying to be mind-controlled away.
Yes.
So they eventually take the bracelet off her because I guess they figure out that that's the thing. And they throw that in acid.
See you, Nero. Thanks.
And then,
this historical item that would be worth amazing money is gone.
That's right. She's never getting back to London.
ooh, spoilers.
And she's like, oh my gosh, what are these people? Like, she freaks out a bit, obviously.
Because she's basically just woken up and seen these people.
It's like sleepwalking.
Yeah.
And,
you're right. She's mid-sentence because she thinks she's on the TARDIS.
Yeah. And then, they're like, one of them's like, time to die. Like, it's just like, we're going to kill her.
Yeah.
Because she knows too much. She didn't even know who she is yet. Just, and another one's like, just ease up.
Yeah.
But I really like the way that they talk.
Yes.
Like, I was like, that, because it feels alien, and they even move a bit alien-y.
Yep.
And I actually quite like their costumes. In that still image that I showed you last week, they look awful. But in video, in movement...
It works.
It works quite well. And the wings even, the wings look quite good.
Yeah.
They look like they're like cellophane or something.
They even sound like it.
Yes.
When the wings hit something, it almost sounds like plastic.
But I guess wings are brittle like that.
That's fair.
So, yeah.
You're not watching... season 2 of Doctor Who Classic for the costumes, though. It's the story, so you can look past it.
Yeah. And it is kind of at this point where we start to, like, the pieces of, like, who these species are and what planet all kind of comes together. So we learn that these are the Menoptera.
Yeah.
And they're...
Well, I'm not going to say yeah. I think that's what I got from it.
And the ant species are the Zabi. And they're on the planet Vortis.
Yep.
And the Doctor says they're in the Isop galaxy. Yes. So he determines where they are. And you kind of get all the pieces. And this is the bit where it got disappointing for me.
Okay.
Because the Zabi were like, we're at war with the Menoptera. And... we're just doing the Daleks again, I guess.
Mm.
Because in the Daleks, the yes. Daleks were like the, you know, aggressors, I guess. Because they wanted to take over the planet. And the Thals were like the perfect humans.
Peaceful.
Perfect people who were like all about wisdom and...
logic.
Diplomacy.
And anti-violence.
And this seems to be the same case where you've got the Zabi, which are like the aggressors, and the Menoptera, which some of them, I mean, one of them was like, let's kill Barbara straight away.
Yeah.
But for, they seem to be a bit more civil.
It was even similar in the storylines in terms of, and this might be episode 3, but I'm just saying, if we're talking about similarities in storylines, this was their planet, and then they were driven away.
Yeah.
And now they're trying to take it back. It is exactly the same thing as with the Thals and the Daleks.
There was a war a while ago, and now there's going to be another fight.
Yeah.
But it did also remind me of a more recent episode.
Yeah.
Because there's a recent episode with David Tennant, 10th Doctor,
mm-hmm.
and he has two companions at the time, and one of them is with one... side of a war, and the other's on another side. There's another twist in the episode that makes it much more interesting.
Right, right.
And that might happen in this episode, who knows? But it's very interesting when, you know, the companions are split.
Right.
And maybe both, you learn from both sides that they both kind of have a right to this planet that they're on.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, Barbara... can't really easily communicate with Ian and the Doctor, so it's like...
doesn't really work.
Doesn't work yet.
And also, even though they often get split up and they're with different people, you never feel like the TARDIS crew disagrees with each other about what needs to be done. They're all on the same page and it's very mono.
Yeah. But we do have, even from the same thing from the Daleks, which is the Doctor being like, this place is interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, there's danger. Let's fly away. Oh, I can't fly away. Now I have to solve a problem.
Yep.
You know, I feel like we should have moved past that.
And the problem is to do with the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Which is, in the Daleks, the fluid link...
Yes.
...is missing or broken.
We need some mercury.
And in this one, it's the TARDIS is not even here. I don't know where it is.
Yeah. The ants took it.
The ants took it.
The Zavi, I should say. Ants would be offensive.
Okay. If ants web.
Well, you know, like Spider-Man shoots web. Yeah, Ant-Man doesn't, though.
That's true. They're also both terribly disappointing superheroes from my point of view.
Spider-Man's not disappointing.
We've had like three generations of teenage boys playing this in the Spider-Man movies. First of all, boring.
When Tobey Maguire played Spider-Man, he was like 28 or something.
Yeah, but he's playing a teenager.
Doesn't look like a teenager.
No, I agree.
I much prefer,
he is in high school.
I much prefer the latest one because there's none of the wasting time with... They just moved through his origin at a clip because you don't need to see all that stuff again.
Anyway, that's how...
We're constantly seeing Bruce Wayne's parents die, just saying. All right, so...
Are we?
Yeah.
Are we?
Yep.
Explain.
Well, Nolan and then Ben Affleck... And then in the Joker, we even got it. And then in the Batman Arkham series, we also saw it.
Oh, a video game. That's a different media.
Okay, take that one out. We've seen him three times in relatively quick succession.
Okay, let me explain something to you. Number one, we don't talk about Batfleck. Absolute cancer on the film industry.
Well, then I can say we don't talk about Maguire.
Agreed. Well, let's move on then. My other points were going to be the Joker is different because it's telling the point of view of from the Joker, and the Waynes are not actually good people in that movie.
To be fair, in the Maguire one, we see it twice. We see it in Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man 3 because in Spider-Man 3, they went, let's make Sandman kill him. And so they had to, anyway.
And also, I just want to make one final point because you brought it up.
Yep.
You do not talk against Nolan.
No, I like that movie.
That's the way the origin story should be done. Nice and quick, it makes sense. Flash forward to the present day story, done. Batman as Ben Affleck having visions within dreams of fighting an alien. Like, just kill me.
There's also one where he flies up a well being carried by bats. Okay, so back in the cave.
How can someone wreck... But wait, he's been Daredevil, right? How does someone wreck two superhero movies? Different superheroes.
To be fair, I don't think they're both in his fault entirely.
No, but actors get to choose what movies they're in.
I do think he should have thought, I did Daredevil, and that didn't go so well. Maybe I shouldn't do this.
Oh, this is being made by Zack Snyder? No, thank you.
Did he make Man of Steel? Yes. So stay away from this movie. And okay, while we're ranting, just because some people will be like, Man of Steel's fine. First of all, it's not fine. Did you see the scene where Clark Kent's dad is just like, oh no, don't save me, because I don't want you to reveal your identity. I'm just going to disappear into this cyclone. Mate, he can move faster than a speeding bullet. He can get you in and out like that.
Yeah. Also...
Also, it doesn't make sense. If the dog's trapped, send Clark in to get the dog. Because that makes sense, and he can also just walk away but pretend he's struggling against the wind or something. The scene where he does put the power poles through the truck is quite cool, though. There's a truck driver that annoys him, so he destroys his truck and his livelihood probably, but that's fine.
What can you do?
Yeah. Should we go back to Doctor being a Doctor
Who
podcast?
I think we should. Don't worry, because if you're watching the YouTube version of this, there's timestamps for all the different parts of the episode so you can skip the rant. Yeah. End scene.
Back in the cave.
With Barbara?
We're back with Barbara.
Yep.
Barbara.
The Barbara.
Well, there's a few things. So Vicky...
So not Barbara.
the TARDIS stops moving, so Vicky gets out, and there's ant creatures, or the Zabi all around her, so she's stuck with them now.
Another one trapped.
Oh, and the Doctor are the same. So the Doctor gets the TARDIS and he's also trapped by the Zabi.
Because he finally sees where it is.
Yeah. And so he tries to communicate with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're bleeping and he can't understand that. And he's speaking English and they can't understand that. So he tries doing some, like, signs, stuff. He just tries shouting at them at one point.
It looks hilarious.
And then eventually they're like, this has been fun, but let's put a helmet on him so he can actually talk to us. It's like, why didn't you lead with that?
Yeah. That's in the next episode, though.
Yes.
And it reminded me of something very funny, but we'll get to it.
Now, while that's there all with the ants...
Yes, the Barbara.
Barbara is still with the bee people, mm-hmm. the butterfly people, the Monoptera. And they're using a crystal radio thing to let their people know that it's time to...
Invade
and have a fight. Barbara has managed to escape.
Yeah.
But then she's, like, immediately caught by the Zabi, who then... She then leads under... Like, she's...
Zombification.
Zombified again. And she leads them to where the Monoptera are.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a tussle, which the Monoptera lose. Two of them get killed?
I think so. Yes.
Oh, no, wait. One gets killed, and the other one gets its wings ripped off, I think.
That's right.
And taken to a slave place.
Yeah.
And the other one...
Escapes. But can I just say something? Barbara, my lady, once again is the hero and escapes all by herself. And one of the funniest things is it flips from Barbara escaping, you know, after being caught and trapped by these people, to a scene of Ian and the doctor basically sightseeing and going, oh, look at the stars in the sky.
Yeah, does it remind you of someone being trapped as and being sold as a slave while the doctor and Vicky just enjoy Rome?
Yes. Just like...
Or when Ian, Barbara and Susan were all trapped in Paris and the doctor was just having a nice, jolly good walk through France, yes, to Paris. And then he's like, I'll get a new coat. And they're in prison.
Yeah. He's just not interested. Boring.
Okay, so the start of the next episode is when the cylinder thing is on the doctor's head.
Yes, but just wait. I just quickly want to say a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best lines ever from the doctor that I've heard so far is when Vicky is trying to say to the doctor, don't you want to find out about their history?
Mm.
And the doctor says, history doesn't mean anything when you travel through space and time.
History doesn't mean anything when you travel through space and time.
Wow. Doesn't he want to learn things?
That's what I thought.
Oh, well.
But I thought it was a funny line anyway. That was it.
Pretty much it.
I had more notes, but they're about things we already said, so I'll skip that.
Okay, so the voice talks to the doctor.
Yes, but do you know what it reminded me of when they dropped the helmety plastic thing over his head to talk?
Getting your hair done?
Well, he does say, okay, put that hairdry thing on me again when he wants to talk to them later. Right, yeah. But have you seen Get Smart? The TV show?
Yes.
Have you seen The Cone of Silence?
Yes.
That is the first thing I thought of.
We can talk under the cone of silence.
The cone of silence?
Well, this is a magenta alert, isn't it?
The cone of silence.
And the cone of silence in that show is a joke about how silly it is.
Mm.
And in this show, it's what's happening. They've dropped the thing over to communicate. And in Get Smart, they dropped it over a couple of people sitting at desks so that no one else can hear them chatting, and it's like a private area.
Mm.
But it's made to be silly. First thing I thought of when I saw it dropping, I was like, wow, that's from Get Smart.
Now, they originally think that they're in league with the Monoptera, or they are from one of the Monoptera.
Yes.
But I just felt like saying, look at them.
Yes, that's right.
They don't have wings.
No.
They don't talk like butterflies do.
They live inside a police box?
Yeah.
Like, hello?
The doctor does manage to kind of convince them that he's just there, like, he's ready to leave. But he's able to assist them?
Yes.
Using something from his box.
Yeah.
So they kind of let him go.
They release the powers that are containing them in that small area so that he can get in and out of the TARDIS and...
Yes.
apparently help them.
And the Doctor and Ian, they go in the TARDIS to get the like star map thing out.
Yep.
And Vicky stays with the ants for a bit.
As like, what's the word?
Collateral. No, yes. Not collateral.
Well, that's the word I thought, like a hostage. But yeah, yes. Collateral in case something happens.
Yes.
And they seem fine with that. See you, Vicky.
And even she seems fine with that. She's like, see you later.
Yeah. I'll stay here. They must want me as a hostage. Okay. Yes.
When they go back out, the Doctor tries to use the star map to kind of find out where the Minotra are.
Mm-hmm.
But realizes that it still doesn't work because of whatever powers that the Cone of Silence has over the area.
Right.
So he's like, put the hairdryer thing back in my head. And they have another conversation. He's like, I can't help you unless you release this area.
Yeah, give me some reception.
And then it does, and all the Zabi kind of go into standby mode, I guess. They just kind of like power down.
Yes.
So, then Ian goes off in search of Barbara.
Mm-hmm. Finally.
And the Doctor and Vicky stick around, I think. I think that's what happens.
And they have some nice moments where the Doctor starts to basically treat Vicky like she's his granddaughter. And he's like, here, have a chocolate.
Yeah.
And he's like, everything's going to be okay, little girl.
And he sends her into the TARDIS to get a box.
Yep.
And she comes out with the wrong box, but I think it's the box that he told her to get. But he just described the wrong box.
That's what I thought happened, but I wasn't sure.
And she opens it, and there's a spider in it, like a specimen, like in Perspex or something.
Yeah.
And the ants freak out at the sight of it.
They don't like spiders.
I guess not. But also, it's a tiny spider, and they're giant ants.
And it's an Earth spider. It's not a spider from whatever their planet is.
Yes.
You know what? What if the twist is that we find out there's another species living on that planet and it's spiders?
Ooh.
And that's why it's called the Web Planet.
Yeah, I guess it could be that.
If they do that, it's kind of partly redeemed.
Now, Ian is almost captured again, but he's saved by one of the Monoptron in a very, I think it's actually quite a good scene where it flies down.
Yes.
And I was like, that's well done.
Yep.
It must be like cables or something.
Yeah.
But you can't really tell. Like, I couldn't notice anything. But just kind of swoops down and saves Ian.
That was very good.
And then they have a long conversation about, Ian's trying to save Susan. And this bee... Sorry, Susan. Ian's trying to save Barbara. And this bee person... Vestin? Vestin?
The bee lady.
The bee lady wants to save one of her friends who... She describes the Crater of Needles, and she's like, that's where the slaves go, they rip off our wings, and they make us work, and blah, blah, blah. And so they decide to kind of team up and go in search of that place.
Because
Ian's like, Barbara will be there, and your friend will be there.
Yep.
So let's go.
They have some scenes running, holding hands, and I was like, ooh, Ian's found himself a bee lady.
A bee lady. Like that movie, Bee Movie.
What?
Have you seen the Bee Movie?
Oh, yes, yes. Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a weird movie, man.
It is a weird movie.
Where a woman falls in love with a small bee.
Well, Ian falls in love with a big bee lady.
But at least they're comparable sizes.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Like... Yes, I do. Also, the only reason I said it is because there's some good highlights in our previous episode of... Where I've made it look like people who aren't in love are in love, and I'm going to do the same thing, so I just wanted to quickly say it. You'll see. Because you know what?
They go into a cave, don't they? And then the cave collapses.
Yes, and that's how it ends, is with the cave, it looks like it collapses basically on Ian.
Yeah.
And then boom, done, son. Now just observation. Is this the first time we've seen Ian take a liking
to anybody
of the female variety? Because we see it with Barb, where people, guys have obviously made themselves...
Oh, they're like, hello, or they're like...
Ooh, Barbara.
Hello.
But we never see
that... I want to be your friend, and then she falls off a cliff.
Yeah. But we we never see that with Ian.
No, I guess not. I mean, he makes friends... but it is normally other male friends.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Like in the Daleks' invasion of Earth, he makes friends with like a group of resistance people, and they're all men.
In the Romans, he made friends with Delos.
Yep. Whereas, didn't he make friends with someone in the Reign of Terror as well?
I think
someone in his cell who dies and he
passes
on information for them.
Yes, that's right, that's right.
He's
too busy getting knocked out. That's what it is.
Yeah.
While Barbara's on the prowl.
Remind me, when we get to the chase, that there's a trivia from this that will be useful.
Be useful?
But yeah, now that's it.
That's it. And I'm glad we're not rating them until we've done the whole story arc, because maybe it redeems itself a bit, but I'm kind of like...
I am happier than I was with the Romans, because I guess in this, it was the comedy, like there's no forced comedy, and stuff happens.
Agreed. There's a lot of dialogue that I don't know how much of it was necessary. That's the only thing. Feels like there's a lot of exposition just thrown at you.
Yeah. By the way, there's these two species and they're at war.
Yeah.
Good luck.
That's what it should be. Not just like, ooh, and my friend was Junibab and Sprongoka. And, you know, and they went from planet blah, blah, blah. And it's like that for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I just want something interesting to happen. You know, like...
That's exactly right.
I feel like these conversations, if nothing happens, that's not interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's either going to be good things or bad things, not shrug of your shoulders things.
Exactly. It's not just details for the sake of details.
Yeah. But I think I am already going to score it higher than the Romans, because in the Romans, nothing happens and then Rome is on fire. Whereas, as in, stuff happens, but it's all, like...
Uncomfortable things.
Pointless until Rome's on fire.
And it's all things that are not nice.
And it's all irrelevant. Yes. Like, they never needed to stay there that long.
That's right.
They could have just left there. Instead, they stayed there for a month and wasted all character development.
Yes.
And then they set Rome on fire and then they left.
And it's like an amazing historical moment in history that's just kind of used for laughs and they leave.
Yeah.
Like, what a waste.
Yeah.
Unless you know that they go back to that point in time.
No. I mean, they go back to Rome.
Well, I assume so.
But they don't go back to it. They try to get that bit.
That would be great if Jodie Whittaker went back and was like, geez, I can't believe I laughed at this. What the hell is wrong with me?
Yeah. Or she meets Old Man Doctor. She's like, what's wrong with you?
Does that happen?
No.
Okay, it should. Wait a second. How does the Doctor meet previous iterations of the Doctor if they're the same person?
Time travel. Also,
okay, that explains everything.
The younger version tends not to be able to retain the memory of the encounter because it breaks time a little bit. So, like, if the fifth Doctor meets the second Doctor,
yeah,
he'll remember meeting himself as the second Doctor when that happens to him,
but not as the fifth.
But not as the second, as in, like, okay, you ready?
Wait, the younger would be the fifth.
The younger one's the sixth, the second Doctor.
Oh, younger, sorry, gotcha.
So the second Doctor wouldn't remember the encounter.
Okay.
After they've finished. He remembers, like, bits and pieces, but it kind of messes with time too much.
Right.
But the fifth Doctor will remember it.
Okay. Gotcha. Yes, the older one remembers. The more recent.
Otherwise, and that just, that makes sense too, because there's a telling, there's a 25th anniversary? I can't remember. But where it's the five Doctors, so all five of them are in the... Well, most of the five are in the episode.
Right.
And if they retained all those memories, the first Doctor would know he'd have to go through this whole story four more times.
That's a good point. That's and would know what's coming up and would try to maybe deviate from it.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense too in terms of making it easier when telling the story. That you don't have to constantly remember, oh, then he went back and did this, so I've got to somehow force that into the story I'm writing now.
Mm-hmm. Wrap this show up.
I feel like recently you're a bit like,
oh. Well,
fair enough.
I think we just had some crackers.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Just kind of Like, I really like the Dalek Invasion of Earth story.
Yes.
I felt like that's a real classic. But, since then...
Yeah.
You know, like, get Terry Nation back, because obviously he knows how to write the story.
Well, there was things... Yeah. There's been, like, the stuff with the giants...
I like that. That was just before the Dalek Invasion.
Yeah, there's been really good stuff.
Maybe they spent all the money on the Dalek Invasion of Earth and they're like, oh, we've got to, like, cellophane and puffy costumes. Butterflies?
But Web Planet.
That being said, this still got, like, 12 to 13 million views per episode, so... Doctor Who's doing very well at this point.
Does it ever not do well? I guess it did get cancelled at one point.
Yes.
So it must
at the end
off.
Of the seventh Doctor's stint, it gets cancelled.
And do you think for fair reason? Like, do you know stuff about it where you're like, where the episode's not
I
that
think
good?
The BBC probably ruined it a little bit, particularly during Colin Baker's sixth Doctor.
Okay.
Who a lot of people would say that he's probably their least favourite Doctor. But he, in hindsight, he is quite good. It's just, I think at the time, there was a lot of things happening.
Behind the scenes?
Mm.
Looking forward to
it. He also hated his own costume, so that doesn't help.
Yeah.
All right, you can Facebook, Twitter.
We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. There's a link tree that's linked in all of those. What's wrong?
More lively. Sounds passionate.
There's a link tree, and you can find it at all of our social media. And it's a fun time.
If you're listening to this on any podcast platform,
yep,
review it, because that really helps.
Thank you.
Send us an email. Do you check the emails? Because
I do. Not a lot, but I do.
And then that'd be really good if we were like, email us. And I was like, do you check the emails? Like, no.
I've been able to keep a track of the zero responses so far, so it's been tough work.
Well, people are still listening to it because they still get play things.
And so. We really appreciate it.
Why not send us the thing?
Yeah, it's queen.
Send us a Doctor Who quote which would go over Alex's head.
Yes, that'd be great. And if you're lucky, Matt will give you a jolly good spring cleaning.
Jolly
good spring cleaner.
Jolly good smack bottom.
See you later, guys.
Okay, bye.
It's the stop button.
I don't think you do, Doctor. But I promise before this Christmas day is done, you will be glad of my help.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Happy Easter.
Your Father Christmas, you're real.
So I'm real. I didn't know those presents got under the tree every year.
Be sure to save some room for its an-an-andering, Doctor.
This Christmas day is done. You'll be glad of my help.
Be sure to save some room for a tangerine, Doctor.
Nobody likes tangerines.